You are listening to the Waves Radio Hour, a special program on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage.
This program is a collaboration between KNBA and Alaska Teen Media Institute. We are a group of 10 students who are here to bring you greatness.
I'm Leah Morgan Carroll.
And I am DJ Chinar the Third.
Today you'll hear about the importance of staying in school. We will also be conducting some interviews, such as talking with Covenant House employees about human trafficking and an interview with local dance instructors.
And I interviewed my grandpa, David Chinar, about his music career. His band is called Pilot Bread, after the crackers. It is a trademark village snack. The Waves reporter and my co-host, Leah Morgan Carroll, went to the Covenant House Crisis Service Center to interview Heidi Carson and Josh Lowers about human trafficking.
Victims of human trafficking are all ages and both genders. Cases include prostitution, labor, and child labor. All cases involve exploitation, force, trickery, and bribery. Victims are manipulated, abused, and forced to obey the trafficker.
Covenant House Crisis Center provides shelter for all ages 13 to 20. Covenant House is available 24 hours, 365 days a year, located in Anchorage, Alaska. Staff Heidi Carson and Josh Lowers work to help youth and have helped cases of human trafficking. Human trafficking is a modern-day slavery that happens today all over the world, including Alaska. Here is her interview.
Could each of you introduce yourself and tell us a little about where you work and what your job is?
My name is Josh Lowers. I'm the Outreach Program Coordinator here at Covenant House, and so my job is to head up the outreach team, and we do a number of things, but kind of our primary role is to be out on the street, letting youth know about what services we offer and building relationships and getting them connected and being a support.
And my name is Heidi Carson, and I'm the program coordinator of our community service center with Covenant House, and I've been with Covenant House for about 11 years now in a variety of capacities. I've worked in the shelter before, I've worked as a peer outreach worker, and now the program coordinator for this center.
How does your work involve the issue of human trafficking?
We deal with a lot of youth that are in their most desperate time of need. They're homeless and at risk, and they are all very, very young, you know, 13 to early 20s. And we find it takes about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, for them to first be approached on the street by people with the intention of trafficking for commercial sex trafficking.
Yeah, so I mean, we're out on the street 5 nights a week. And we're trying to meet youth in essence. I mean, we're out there with the pimps, with the traffickers. And mm-hmm. So we're coming offering kind of a place to stay, food and shelter, but oftentimes the traffickers are also offering those same things. And so the reason we're out there is because what we bring brings life at the end of that. And what those guys bring is just heartache and pain and struggle. And so, but we see youth all the time. I can think of 10 people off the top of my head right now that I know are being trafficked in some way. And so we're building relationships to try to help them either get out of that life or take steps away from that life. But we definitely, it's a vulnerable population. Anytime there's a vulnerable population, you're going to find folks that are going to try and take advantage of them. And that's who we work with.
And a lot of the youth that we run into are being trafficked, and they're not even aware that it's trafficking. What we've experienced a lot is a phenomenon known as tundra pimping. And what that means is traffickers here in the city will get a girl of a lot, and it's usually girls, so that's, I'm going to speak primarily about females, but they'll get a girl probably new to town, doesn't really know anybody. They kind of pick her up, they start this relationship with her like they're her boyfriend or something like that, treat her really good, you know, pay for clothes and you know, keep her comfortable and take her out to dinner and things that she may not have ever experienced. So they kind of groom her, and then they start making her have sex with his friends, and then it kind of goes on from there. And then what he does essentially is removes all what she sees as availability to get out of that. So he takes her ID, he cuts off ties with her family. The traffickers are looking for naive Alaska Native females that they can get that aren't familiar with the city, that don't understand their resources.
They're easy to spot. You know the newbies like within a second because they're bright-eyed, they're bushy-tailed. Mm-hmm.
And usually new clothes, yeah. They look really good, they're really excited.
And so the traffickers have, they don't have to work too hard to identify some of the new folks on the street.
It's not going to be some sketchy guy in the trench coat that's going to come and approach you on the street and he's going to be like, hey, little girl, come with me. The scenario is not like that. The scenario is going to be some, you know, probably really hot guy who's going to be like, hey, you want to come to dinner with me? And you're going to think it's a dating situation. And he's going to pull you out and pretty soon like, oh, you don't need to stay at Covenant House. You can come home with me. I'll take care of you. And then it becomes this situation where they can't get out of it. So it's so easy to get into because this is one of their peers. This is somebody who might be just a little bit older than but not much. So that's kind of where the trap is.
Yeah. Well, and it's really just being intentional about who you receive things from and where you go with people. You know, I mean, if you don't know somebody, be careful because you don't know them, you know. And, I mean, people offering free things or, just be really intentional about who you spend your time with and what you receive and where you go with folks that you don't know.
And then Covenant House in general works really closely with law enforcement in picking out people that we think are potential traffickers or even just individuals that might be out to do harm, dealers or any of that sort. So we recognize through outreach, the youth bring it up to us and say, hey, you know, this person's really shady, look out for them. And then law enforcement, we share that information too. I would say that it's really, really underreported, especially for boys and men. Girls and young women, you know, they don't understand that they were trafficked. They just think that their boyfriend made them do things. Brainwashed to believe that this is all that they are there for. This is all that they can do. This is what he's telling them. He'll even make them say that they like it, that they want to do it. And for a while, some of them believe that. And it isn't until a lot of therapeutic interventions that come to pass that they genuinely come to the understanding that, you know, they were the victim in this case. Our suggestion for parents is to pay attention to what your youth at home are doing on Facebook and social networking sites, because what we find is that is the new way that youth get drawn into this life, into being trafficked. And we've noticed a lot of youth getting set up, so to speak, on Facebook to meet somebody they think is their age. In the transit center or somewhere else like that, some public location, and then they end up getting swept into this. And we are seeing that a lot. So pay attention to your kids' Facebook activities.
And again, just like on the street, if you don't know somebody, don't give them your information. Don't friend them. Don't go someplace where they want you to go. I mean, it's really, it's in that sense, it's kind of a common sense thing of saying.
I don't know where. Taking all that I had, smuggled in for a lucrative trade, beaten, bartered, broken in until I obey. I used to be childlike, innocent and safe, but now I'm someone else's treasure.
You just heard an interview about human trafficking in Anchorage, Alaska, how Covenant House staff Heidi and Josh support youth. Hey Leo, what do you do if you believe you know someone is a victim of human trafficking or is a trafficker?
If you believe there may be a victim or a trafficker, you can call or go to the website for the Covenant House Crisis Service Center at 907-272-1255. Again, 907-272-1255. Or their website, www.covenanthouseak.org.
You're listening to the Waves Radio Hour on KMBA 90.3 FM. And next up, we have interviews with Anchorage residents about who they admire.
Who's someone that you admire?
Who is somebody that I admire? The lead singer of Tool in a Perfect Circle. His name is Maynard.
Oh, why is that?
Because he's not a rock star. The way he actually carries himself and the things that he's interested in and his influences from his music.
Who's someone you admire?
Ooh.
Someone I admire. I would say Michael Anderson, the hot dog guy. Everybody knows him as the hot dog guy, but behind the scenes, he is a great guy, hard worker, and he never brags about his accomplishments and what he does for the community. He just does it because he wants to.
Who's your idol and why?
I don't believe I have an idol.
Not an actor or president?
No. Or my mom.
Can you tell me why?
Because she's my mom. And she'll always be my mom.
Who's your idol and why?
I'm going to have to say my math teacher.
Can you tell me why he's your idol?
Well, first of all, his name is Mr. Fetzel. And he's my idol because he's smart, funny, and he's also understandable.
Who's your idol and why?
I'd have to say my dad.
Can you tell me why?
He's just always been there and provides me with everything. I love my dad.
From hot dog man to God, we got some pretty good answers.
That was interviews of Anchorage residents and who they admire. Next up, we have Cyaron Williams talking about sports safety tips. Here is Cyaron on the Waves Radio Hour on KNBA 90.3.
One of the first things about sports safety is proper equipment for every sport you are playing. You can't worry about stretching and technique if you don't have the proper gear. The next thing is warming up. Muscles that have not been warmed can be easily injured. And I know you have a passion for this sport, but spending time getting better is more important than going back on the court when you aren't healthy. Then after you warm up, you need to stretch to loosen your muscles. Stretching gives you a better chance of preventing injuries because our muscles are more elastic due to the increase of blood flow and heat to the muscles. The final thing is improving your game. You should practice daily, but don't overpractice. Sudden increases in training might make you better at first, but may lead to injury later. So know your limits in playing. When you are injured, you shouldn't play. I know you think you are ready to play sports right away when the pain is gone, but you are not fully healed. Spending time to heal is better than never playing again. These sports tips brought to you by Cyaron Williams. This information found at kidshealth.org.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Cyaron Williams giving us sports safety tips.
Next up is an interview with the Waves reporter and my co-host DJ Chinar with the local artist, Elder David Chinar, where he talks about his musical talents and experiences as a local artist. Here's DJ.
Hi, my name is DJ, and this is my grandpa, who is a musician.
What grandpa? What do you say, grandpa?
Appa.
Appa, yep.
David Chinar, would you mind telling us about your musical talents and experiences?
My musical talent is, of course, I play the guitar. I started out with a harmonica.
Can you talk about the kind of music that you make?
The kind of music I make is country and gospel.
The ones that you're influenced by?
Yeah, well, just influence. I've got different influences through listening to different country artists. Pop and jazz and blues, but mostly it's been country that I'm into. And of course, I'm also involved in my own Yupik traditional music, and I've also been involved in that. So.
Can you talk about one of the first times you got into music?
First, what way? And the first time I ever got into music was, of course, at home, plunking on my Sears Roebuck, very expensive $12.95 guitar that I ordered from the Sears Roebuck. And then I got into high school, and then I played in the band there. Then when I went to college, we formed a band there. And also when I was in college, university, Alaska Fairbanks, I was involved in the choir of the North. We got to travel around the state for that.
So you're exposed to many other artists as a little kid?
Yes. I listened to all kinds of music, not only country. You did a lot of classical numbers when I was in the choir of the North. We did, and we didn't just sing English. We also sang songs in German. I didn't know what the heck I was singing about, but it was. Heute ist ein schöner Tag.
Can you recall to when you first discovered your musical potential?
I can't. I was very young when I started listening to some radio stations that we could hear by our transition radios. So it's mainly one radio station was from Nome, Alaska, KICY. So I listened to a lot of music, country music and gospel music through that. So, and of course, after a while, I got to travel, and so I was exposed to all kinds of music that way.
So when did you start getting popular? Because I know you and your brother Moses, right? You two were in a duo back then. You guys got pretty popular. Young in your prime.
Yeah, we were in our prime, yep. But we just mainly played for locally, like in Tuxuk Bay. So we did a little show at KICY Bethel, Alaska back in the early 70s. So.
Once you find out you're good at music, like, oh man, I'm getting good at this music.
I don't know. I can say that I'm good. You just have to see how you're appreciated by people before you can really know that you're good. You can't let pride get in your way. One thing that one of my elders, Artie Joseph, told me was that never. Don't let it get into your head, you know. You just do the best you can. You play the best you can, the best you know how, and see what happens. So you just, for people, out of respect, you do the best you can, whatever you're playing.
I see you have the CD right here, and uh-huh. The name is Pilot Bread.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that is your band.
Yeah, that was the name of our band, so. We were we've been together for about 10 years now. We play off and on together, so of course they're involved in other. Our band members are involved in other in different activities and everything there. But once in a while we do get together and make some music for the people.
I have a question. You said you did traditional Yupik songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an example of a song? Maybe singing my song.
Okay, your song. Your song, bugger this. But since I was into fiddle dancing, I made a fiddle dance song in Yupik. And also I regurgitated some old songs done by your great-grandpa, which were almost forgotten until I revived them again. So I'm involved in Yupik dance and singing. So that'll never grow old. Always new.
If music did impact you, did it impact you on your life?
Positively.
How much of an impact did your musical career have on your life?
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful because through my music I was able to meet other very interesting people. And you work with very interesting people and you inculcate, you develop respect, mutual respect for all your musicians, all the musicians that you work with. So you grow and meet people. and meeting people and working with people is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for anybody to grow positively.
Do you think your life would be different if you didn't do music?
Music is everywhere. I'm sure I would have tried to do the best I can if I didn't have music in my life. It all takes good attitude. Good attitude in everything that you do.
Thanks for listening to my interview with my grandpa, Elder David Chenar, on KMBN 90.3 FM.
The Waves reporter Maxwell Wasili Johnson interviews students about why they think it is important to stay in school.
What's your reason of staying in school?
I believe the most important reason in staying in school is because you can't get far in life without education. It's important for communication and to be successful in life. Many jobs out there will not hire you if you don't have a high school education, such as a diploma, and you don't get paid as much either. Like, there's statistics out there that you get paid more once you have a high school diploma.
The reason why you should stay in school is because I have a lot of family members that dropped out of school, and my mom dropped out of school too. And I could see how their lives are, and it really reflected how their personality was. They changed. They weren't the same. They're struggling. We're always, my mom, since she dropped out of school and didn't get a high school diploma, she's struggling to pay rent, bills. We're all, sometimes we don't even have a place to stay sometimes. So it's not really good to drop out of school, because my mom has a hard time finding a job, because most jobs want people that have their high school diploma or GED, and most of my family members don't have GEDs or high school diplomas, and they struggle to find a job.
My reason to stay in school, well, I graduated already, but my reason to stay in school is because I was pressured by my family. They're like, oh, you should stay in school. And like everybody else, like on the media, is like, if you don't go to school, you don't have a good job. But yeah, mainly my family. And I also wanted to have a good job and just finish high school. I was already doing good. There's no reason to drop out. I didn't have that motive.
I think it would be good to stay in school so you could have your dream career and everything you ever wanted and live the life you want. And if you're a dropout, you'd have to live with a career that you don't want and live with a career that you can't pay your bills off of.
Yeah, before we even start this song, I want to give a special shout out to all the teachers all over the nation. Y'all really doing a good job, you know what I mean? Keep your heads up, pat yourself on the back.
Yeah! We mix! We mix! We get it again. We mix! Sugar Cane and Johnny Chetty on the beat! That's why I came. It's your boy Contact Man. Out here for all the kids, man. We really love you, man. We really love you. This song is for you. Stay in school.
Stay in school. Don't be no fools. When you get good grades, that's super cool. Straight A students get fits and shoes. Don't worry about the streets. You ain't got nothing to prove. Just make moves so you can get to college. You can't get nothing if you don't have knowledge. You gotta have smart if you wanna make dollars. Cause you can get rich off one bad problem.
I teach, educated, suede on my suits, kid. Backpack, match hat. Grade A, you can play. Here's the report card straight. Got to be a leader, man. All you can be. Work for it. Don't take nothing free. Good leader, hold it down via internet. Next Obama and rep president.
Tomorrow.
scared of staying school. I put my focus on trying to be cool. The truth is, you can shoot for the moon and be fresh too. Put your heart in your studies and it'll bless you. What opportunities to change our society? Cause you can be anything that you try to be. Stay focused and show the world what you're made of. Boys and girls, keep your grades up.
Get yours, just I got mine. Education is a must, so in God we trust. I ain't wanna preach, but man, I really teach. These budget cuts are real, so with these words you gotta feel. Keep your mind on your books, education ain't for play. Keep your faith in God, he'll lead the way. Be you in school, just to stay in school. Stay in school, my, stay in school. Class, and that science and that math. Cause you don't wanna be running from tasks. Cause you'll have to be NASCAR, that's fast. So let's keep it clean. Stay in school, yada da da mean. Get smart, go far, grow some. And then when you're done, you can go gum.
I got spoiled if I got good grades in school. That's why every day a boy didn't play in school. Fresh fade, new fit, every day in school. Rap mouth, I used to rap in 8th grade in school. Pretty late to school, cause I made the rules. I'm so cool, I make the students hate in school. Now I'm a rap star, making major moves. And I count good money cause I stay in school.
You gotta stay in school and keep them grades. You gotta add and subtract, the only way to get paid. You gotta count your math and read and write. And this the way of life and I'm keeping it tight. Don't be a dumb dumb, stay in them books and get a 4.0. We go to college, it ain't cool to be slow. You gotta stay smart, aim for the top and get your education. The world is yours and you can rule the whole nation.
The stats ain't good, man. 1 in 4 Latino and blacks are finishing school. So hopefully this song will motivate you to stay in school. Yeah, and I'ma keep doing this for y'all. I'ma keep on with every breath I got. There ain't no stopping us, man. We're here for you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay in school.
Thanks, Max, for sharing that input about the importance of staying in school. You're listening to the production The Waves Radio Hour, a collaboration between KMBA and Alaska Teen Media on 90.3.
Graduating will direct how you live for the rest of your life. According to the National Dropout Prevention Network, high school graduates earn $143 more per week than those who drop out. Also, college graduates earn $479 more per week than high school dropouts. High school determines your lifelong budget. Brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Siri Foundation, Charlotte Martin Foundation, Kowanic Broadcasting Corporation, and Alaska Teen Media Institute.
You are listening to The Waves Radio Hour on Anchorage, Alaska's very own KMBA 90.3 FM.
Next, here's Janessa Gonzalez with her interview with the founder of Pulse Dance Company, Stephanie Wanchala.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Wanchala. That's Stephanie Wanchala. And I am the owner and operator of Studio Pulse and the company and artistic director of Pulse Dance Company.
Why did you want to create a dance company?
Well, Alaska didn't really have what I was looking for, and what I was looking for was something fresh and unique and exciting and heavily influenced by modern dance, but still appreciating ballet lines. And so 3 years ago, I decided to create Pulse Dance Company, which is a group of professional dancers who work primarily in modern and have had ballet training, and tried to create kind of this community of adult movers who could continue dancing and creating once they were outside of high school or college, which is what Alaska was lacking. And so now that we're entering our fourth season, it was time for a studio, because it's very hard to conduct rehearsals and try to lead a professional lifestyle when you're kind of begging for space.
What is dancing to you? What is its role in your life? What makes you love it?
I love it because it's beautiful. Whether it's, you know, perfect pirouettes or a hand gesture done just right. So it's all encompassing. So I just find this joy and this fulfillment from the art. And I decided, I'm pushing 30. It's time for me to be doing something that makes me happy. And so I just decided to take the plunge, start a company, open a Studio Pulse, and I assume that if I take the leap, the net will appear.
What is one of your favorite productions you've done?
My all-time favorite production was Ever After, which was Pulse's last season finale concert. And it drew from a lot of the ideas in fairy tales and kind of societal roles that we all, whether we know it or not, kind of fulfill or may feel pressure to fulfill. And everything just kind of fell into place very nicely for that piece. I really liked the movement. I focused a lot on costuming. And I really liked that I had this character who posed as an impetus for change. And she carried this monumental caribou rack across the stage, wearing this fairy tale-like skirt. And so I thought that was visually appealing. And I just thought it turned out really, really nicely.
If people wanted to know more about Pulse, where could they get the information?
What they would want to do is visit pulsedancecompany.org. So that's the website that is focused on the performing company. If they want to know more about how they can dance and get involved with the company or take classes from the company, they'll want to go to studiopulseak.com.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think Studio Pulse is something that the Anchorage community needs. I think it will provide ideal space for photographers or other informal showings or musicians or small gatherings. First Fridays. I see it as a space where artists can come together and enjoy a sense of community through movement, and I'm really excited to open our doors. You're going to want to get involved. Again, it comes down to doing, 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 and you're going to want to get involved with as many aspects of production and fundraising as possible. So while you need to be training and you need to be learning about choreography, ideally maybe taking classes at UAA if you're entering college. Even traveling out of state is great. But when it comes to actually operating a company, you're going to need to know the ins and outs of theater, the ins and outs of fundraising, the ins and outs of marketing. There's much, much more to running a dance company than coming up with a few moves and putting them together and making a show. There's a ton of work that goes on behind the curtain, and you just need to be a very well-rounded individual to execute it well.
Thanks for listening to Janessa Gonzalez's interview with Stephanie Wanchala about discussing dance. You're listening to the production The Waves Radio Hour, a collaboration between KMBA and Alaska Teen Media on 90.3.
This is Amber Shugek with her interview of Lori Bradford. Lori is a dance teacher at West Anchorage High School, also known as Dance West. Lori will be talking about her life as a dancer and what dance means to her.
I'm Lori Bradford. I'm a dancer, a visual artist, a mother, and a teacher. I'm the dance teacher and director of West High's dance program called Dance West. And prior to that, I performed with Alaska Contemporary Dance Company and taught dance at East High, Alaska Dance Theater, Anchorage Opera, and a few other organizations.
Do you remember the first time you danced?
Yes. Okay, so I was 5. That was the first day of my ballet class with my sister. And my mom made me go in there. I was kind of interested, but I wasn't really excited. Like, I was more scared. And the thing that I remember the most was that she hadn't purchased any of the, you know, you have to wear a uniform sort of thing for, back then you had to wear a uniform for ballet classes, and we didn't have one yet. And so she made me wear this really ugly green, old green bathing suit that we had in the closet, and I had to wear that. And all the other girls were wearing black leotards and pink tights, and their hair was all up, and here comes this scruffy little girl with the ugly green and blue, ugly, it was even torn bathing suit. And it was a bikini. It wasn't even a one piece. I remember that day very well. But, yeah, I didn't let it get to me, I guess. It's really funny when I think of it now, but back then it was devastating.
Yeah. Can you remember the first time you were on stage?
I thought about that question for a while, and I don't actually remember the first time because there were so many of them, and they kind of are jumbled up. I can't pinpoint in my memories which one was the first, but I do remember really when I was a little kid really loving being on stage, and you know, it kind of made me nervous, but when I was on stage, I was really happy. Like, that's where I was the happiest because I felt so good. And when I was done with the performances, I always remember feeling really good about myself and being excited about the next one, you know.
What does dance mean to you?
I am very passionate about dance and how it benefits everybody's lives when they participate in it. To me, dance is an unwritten language. It is the soul coming to the surface. It is a way for people to express their thoughts and their feelings. It's a way to tell a story or to share cultural history. It is what I want to share with my students, and it gives me the opportunity to teach them how to be a confident person through dance. It's my sanctuary, personally. It's my passion. It's my soul. It's always there for me, and I wouldn't be the same person without it.
So has dance helped you in any way?
Yeah, it's helped me very much, mentally and physically. I think at the age that I'm at, I'm in pretty good physical health, and mentally I use it all the time for a way to relieve stress or to get my frustrations out or to deal with sadness. Yeah, it's definitely helped me a lot.
What do you feel when you dance?
That is a really good question because there's different feelings at different times, but in general, I feel freer. Sometimes I feel like I'm flying or swimming. I visualize myself swimming because I used to swim a lot when I lived in Florida, because swimming is such a relaxing thing to do. And another thing, sometimes when I dance, I kind of lose my thoughts. And I kind of go into another state of mind. I mean, that's just me. I don't know how everybody else is, but that's part of the reason why it's stayed in my life so long, is because it's something that makes me feel so good and different and at peace.
And what was one of your favorite productions you have been involved in?
I thought about it, and I wasn't able to really pick one favorite production because each one of them had like special things about them. Mm-hmm. But I do remember one of the performances that I was in. I danced with Mikhail Baryshnikov, and I didn't actually dance with him, but I was in the performance with him, and that felt really special because he's, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a pretty famous dancer, and it made me feel like I'd achieved something, you know.
That was Amber Shugak interviewing Lori Bradford, the dance instructor at Dance West in Anchorage. You're listening to the Waves Radio Hour on KMBA 90.3 FM.
Next will be a couple of interviews with Anchorage residents that impersonated their favorite movie character or video game character.
Can you reenact a character from your favorite movie scene?
I'm not about to do that.
You can't do that?
I'm not doing the Titanic. Get out of my face. Yeah.
Can you reenact a character from your favorite movie?
Def Leppard.
One more time for me.
Dag, mees. Welcome to my show. Doemagog.
What is your favorite movie?
Hook.
Oh, would you reenact a favorite phrase or something like that?
Aha! We meet again, you scallywag!
Do you have, like, a favorite character from a video game or a movie?
I suppose Freddy Krueger.
Why do you like Freddy Krueger?
Oh, because I was born in the 80s, and, I love those movies. I grew up with them.
Can you impersonate Freddy?
Not really, but I can't really do his voice right.
Do you have, like, a favorite character from a video game or a favorite actor from a movie?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis? Can you, like, act like out one of his movies?
I don't think so.
What's your favorite character from a video game or a movie?
Denzel Washington.
Can you impersonate him?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you impersonate him, like, copy one of his lines or try talk like how he talks?
Oh, yeah. Touch me again, you're not going to get that hand back, he says.
In what movie?
Book of Eli.
What's your favorite character from a video game or movie?
I'm going to have to say SpongeBob.
Can you tell me why?
He's funny, he's hilarious, and also, like, he doesn't care about what people say to him, like rude comments.
Can you impersonate him for me?
I'm ready. Promotion. I'm ready. Promotion.
What's your favorite character from a video game or a movie?
I'd have to say Frankenstein from Hotel Transylvania.
Can you tell me why you like him?
He's funny. In the movie, he's really funny and it's hilarious.
Can you impersonate him for me?
Don't go by a fire. Fire bad.
The last interview with Anchorage residents explains what they believe happens after they die.
You are listening to the Waves Radio Hour, a special program on KNBA 90.3 FM.
What do you think happens when you die?
I don't know. I guess I'll know when I get there. Something.
What do you think will happen after you die?
You go back to the earth.
What do you think will happen after you die?
Ooh, good question. Definitely be cremated. There should be a party be held in my name to celebrate my life. And I'll just disappear. Or come back and haunt all my exes.
Thanks for listening to the Waves Radio Hour on KMBA 90.3 FM.
Thanks to our producers, Heather Werning, Iris Stronghart, David, also known as DJ Chinar, Amber Shugak, Teddy Tim Shangan, Maxwell Wasili Johnson, Janessa Gonzalez, I myself, Leah Morgan Carroll, Sayaran J. Williams, and Miranda Yvonne.
Thanks to Lori Bradford, David Chinar, Stephanie Wonkala, Heidi Carson, and Josh Lowers. This program brought to you by KMBA 90.3 FM, the Corporation or Public Broadcasting, Charlotte Martin Foundation, Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, and Alaska Teen Media Institute.
Thank you.
Thanks again. We'll leave you with a couple of public service announcements that we have made.
When you drop out of school, it can be difficult to get a job.
And when it's difficult to get a job, you don't get any money.
And when you don't get money, you're broke.
And when you're broke, you can't pay the bills.
And when you can't pay the bills, you're in debt.
And when you're in debt,
you get lost.
Don't get lost. Stay in school. Don't waste your youth.
Lead the future.
Brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Siri Foundation,
Charlotte Martin Foundation, Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, and Alaska Teen Media Institute.
According to Care to Vote, every 26 seconds, a student dropped out of public school in 2008.
That makes 3,000 plus students per day.
Those dropouts were likely to live below the poverty line, also leaving little career options for the dropouts.
Due to the market becoming more competitive, this competition has many careers that are requiring a high school diploma.
Let's make a change. Don't waste your youth. Lead the future. Stay in school. I put my focus on trying to be cool. The truth is, you can shoot for the moon.
When I get older, I'm going to have my dream career, a job I love, and I'll be able to support myself and or family. I'll also buy all the new Nike shoes in the world. What about you? Here's a hint. Stay in school for the future you want. Brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Siri Foundation, Charlotte Martin Foundation, Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, the Alaska Teak Media Institute.